الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutations or salawat upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila, Blessings of Hadith of Madani channel. Wa an Abdullah ibn Amr qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إن قلوب بني آدم كلها بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن كقلب واحد يصرفه كيف يشاء ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك رواه مسلم. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that surely the hearts of the children of Adam alayhi salam are between the two fingers, amongst the fingers of Rahman Almighty Allah, like one heart. So all the hearts are like one heart in the two fingers of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Yusarrifuhu kayfa yashau, he rotates them or he changes them or changes their condition as he wishes. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, O Allah, the one who changes the condition of hearts. Sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik, change our heart on your obedience, on following your orders. This hadith has been reported by Hazrat Imam Muslim in his Sahih. The Awlad-e Adam, mean the children of Adam, means here all the prophets, all the awliya Allah, all the believers, and all the kuffar. Everybody is included in this. Because everybody's heart is in the qabza, in the qudra, in the control of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. But because generally the Ahkam-e Shar'iyya are imposed upon humans, therefore the Bani Adam is mentioned, or the Aulad, or the children of Adam are mentioned. Otherwise, the jinns and the angels, they all are included in this, because everybody's heart is in the control of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. When we talk about the fingers of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, what it means? In reality, this word is from mutashabihat, Mutashabihat means that we do not understand the meanings of these words, and we cannot take the literal meaning of those words. We have to do reinterpretation and take the majaz or the metaphorical meaning of those words. Therefore, when we talk about the fingers of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, or everybody's heart is amongst the fingers of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, it means that everybody's heart is in the control of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And everyone who does good or who does bad, he does with his own choice, with his own ikhtiyar. Nobody is forced. One should not think that, oh, my heart is in the hand of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, or in the qudra and the power of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, therefore, whatever I'm doing, I'm forced into that. This is not what is meant here. What is meant here that whatever you are going to do, whatever you plan, whatever you wish to do with your own will and desire, according to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables your heart or your mind or your body to do something. So end of the day, it is your own choice. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua at the end of this hadith mubarakah. So this dua is for the kuffar and for the believers, for the pious, for the bad ones, for the good ones, for everyone. Because everyone needs that change. The change of the good people is to be firm and be steadfast on the path of goodness. And the change in the bad people is that they should leave the life of sins and become pious. And change of the hearts of the disbelievers is that they should accept faith, they should accept iman. And in this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not included. The reason is that he is Sayyidul Ma'asumeen. He is the head of all those who are ma'asum, who are sinless, who are incapable of committing sins. So his heart is always towards the right direction. He is always upright and he is always in the obedience of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as the truth and being on the right path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, it's inseparable from his personality. Like you cannot separate light from the sun, and you cannot separate heat from the fire. They are inseparable. So this is an example for us to understand that one cannot separate guidance from the personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is embodiment of hidayah. He is embodiment of guidance, and to be on the right path, and to be truthful, and to be upright. وعن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مولود إلا يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه. This hadith mubarakah is related from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that every child is born on the nature, on the fitrat. Then his parents make him Jews or Christians or fire worshippers. In this hadith mubarakah, every child means every child of human being. Because the discussion which is coming after Kullu Maulud indicates that we are talking about the child of humans, not the child of any other creations. Because humans are the one who become Jews or Christians or fire worshippers, not animals. The literal meaning of word fitrat is to tear something apart or to invent something, to manufacture something. And here the word fitrat is used in the meaning of asli, means original, or the condition of a person at the time of birth. So when a person is born, at the time of birth, he is a believer, he is Muslim. Because person has made a commitment with Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal in Alami Arwah, in the world of souls. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked every soul, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Qalu bala, they said, why not? Yes, O Allah, you are our Lord. So when person is born, when person comes into this world, he comes on that promise. So that is the religion of nature. That is the original and the natural condition of a person. Therefore, everyone who is born is born as a Muslim, is born as a believer. Now the condition of parents is a mold for them. They are role models for them. Till the time they reach the age of understanding, they are believers. And when they start understanding, then the influence of parents and the influence of brothers and sisters and friends and the people around them change them. So therefore, it is necessary that we should find good and pious boys for our daughters. And we should find pious girls for our sons to marry. So when they are good, when they are pious, and their children will take them as their role models, their children will follow them, and you will have a progeny of good people, pious people, those who have taqwa and those who fear Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the parents can make them good and the parents can make them bad. This is what we learn from this hadith mubarakah. Wa anhu qala suila rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an ذراري المشركين قال الله أعلم بما كانوا عاملين. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the children of mushrikeen, idol worshippers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, الله أعلم بما كانوا عاملين. Allah knows best what they were going to do, or what type of amal or action or deeds they were going to do in this world. The meaning of Hadith Mubarakah is that if they became adults, and after becoming adults, if they became infidels, then they would have been Jahannamis. And if they became believers or remained on the original condition, which is fitra, and then they would have been Jannati. Keep in mind that there are different opinions of ulama ikram regarding the children of kuffar. The one opinion is that they are Jannatis because they are on the fitrat. And fitrat is the religion of Islam and the true faith. And the second opinion is that they are Jahannamis, they follow their parents. And the third opinion is that they would stay in Iraf because their Iman and Kufr both are not proven according to the evidences of Sharia. Iraf is a place which is around Jannatul Firdaus, which is not in the Jannat. And the fourth opinion of ulama is that one should keep quiet about this issue because the dalail, the proofs are different. And the fifth opinion is that we should believe that whatever they would have become when if they lived and they became adults, and if they became kafirs, they would have been jahannamis, and if they became believers, they would have been jannatis. However, after discussing all these opinions of scholars, Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala writes in Mirqat Sharif that the correct saying is that they are jannatis. And this actually makes perfect sense, because a person who is born on fitrah, a person who is born as a believer, when would you call him a non-believer? When would you declare him as a infidel or disbeliever? Is when he commits a kufr, when he does something which is contrary to the faith. And at the time when the child is small, he doesn't have the capability to commit kufr, when he doesn't have understanding. The law is not implemented upon him. Therefore, if he died at that age when he has not reached the age of understanding, we're not talking about the age of puberty, we're talking here the age of understanding. So he would be regarded as Jannati. And Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi says, this is the correct opinion. And عبادة بن الصامت قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له اكتب فقال ما أكتب قال اكتب القدر فكتب ما كان وما هو كائن إلى الأبد رواه الترمذي وقال هذا حديث غريب إسنادا. This hadith has been reported by Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says the first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was pen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen, uktub, write. Faqala, so the pen said, maktub, what should I write? Qala, uktubil qadra. Write taqdeer, write the destiny. فَقَتَبَ مَا كَانَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى الْأَبَدِ. So the pen wrote all that, what has happened and what was going to happen till forever. So this hadith is reported by Imam Tirmizi, and he says that this hadith has a gharib sanad, that is now a terminology of ilm al-hadith. Now here something is mentioned very interesting, that the first thing which is created, that is pen. In reality, there are things which were created before pen. For example, the water, the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, Lawhi Mahfuz, the tablet. Because if there was no tablet, where the pen would have written something? So that tells you that the Lawhi Mahfuz, the tablet was created before pen. Then why is it being said that the first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen? So ulama ikram have said that this is awwaliyat izafi. Awwaliyat izafi means that it's metaphorical being first. One is the really being first and one is metaphorically being first. So Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he writes in Mirqat that the first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the noor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, that awwaliyat, or that being first, is haqiqi, that is real, and the pens being first creation is metaphorical, is awwaliyate izafi or majaz. Some people even say that pen refers to haqiqat muhammadiyya, that is the reality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this situation, then the pen would mean that it has a awwaliyate haqiqi, that that's the first creation, because it refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is no contradiction. And then in this hadith mubarakah, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, write, and the pen said, what should I write? So there's a dialogue, there's a discussion between the pen and between Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this does not need any reinterpretation. This part would remain on its apparent meaning, because every creation can communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can request, can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires, He would answer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, وَإِمْ مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, that there is nothing who does not make the tasbih of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, who does not praise Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So everything, every atom is in communication with Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, there is no need to do any reinterpretation of these words, that the pen spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the pen had a dialogue with Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this would remain on its apparent meaning. This hadith has been reported from Hazrat Khuzama, and he reports this hadith from his father. He says that I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, inform me or tell me about spell, like ta'weez, or something that we read to remove a bad luck or to find some ease, etc. And the medicines that we take and the precautions that we take, would they change the taqdeer, the measurement and the destiny of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that they themselves are part of taqdeer, they themselves are the part of destiny of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Abi Khuzama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is a tabi'i. There is ikhtilaf of ulama in his father's name. Therefore, in the hadith mubarakah, it's just meant, that just said here, that he reports from his father. And probably his father's name is Ya'mar, and he belongs to a tribe of Bani Harith ibn Sa'ad. So Hazrat Abu Khuzama radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a tabi'i, and is not that Abu Khuzama who is Sahabi Rasul. So that is important to know, that who's the narrator. Now the question that he asked was about ta'weez, or about dam, when you read something and blow on someone, and making dua and asking pious people to make dua, or at the time when there's difficulty, we have certain wazaif, or call people and they get together and they recite and read something in order to remove a difficulty, or there's a sick person and we do all that and make duas and give medicine and take ta'weez and make dam and all that. Is that allowed or not? So if it is based on Quran and Hadith and on the experience of pious people, then that is allowed. And if it's contrary to the teachings of Quran and Hadith, then it is not allowed. So this is very important to keep in mind. Now, what is mentioned in this Hadith-e Mubarakah that we do so many things. When we are sick, we take medication, we go to the doctor. And when there's a danger, we take precautions. If we are in the battlefield, we take a protection, we take a shield, so we are protected, etc. Is that against the taqdeer? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to this question that this is not against the taqdeer. In fact, this is part of the taqdeer. In other words, simply, it is already in your taqdeer that you will have this sickness, and this sickness will be removed with this taweez. You will have this difficulty, and this difficulty will be removed with this dua. Or you will have that calamity, and that calamity will be removed with this wazifa. Or this sickness will go away with this medication or that medication. That whole thing is part of taqdeer. So it's not against the taqdeer. And then again, as we discussed in the beginning, that taqdeers are three types. Taqdeer mubram, and one is taqdeer mushabih ba mubram, and one is muallak. We don't know that our destiny falls under which category. If it is mubram, it's unchangeable. Then if you take medication, or you make dua, or you read wazifa, or you go and ask any pious person, that's not going to change anything. But if it is in taqdeer-e-mu'allak, which is pending taqdeer, then that can be changed with your own dua and ibadat and asking other people to make dua for you. And even if it is that taqdeer, which is the middle one, mushabih ba mubram, which is similar to mubram, in the books of angels, it is written as mubram, but in the knowledge of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, it is not mubram. So that can be changed with the dua of special friends of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, we should never give up asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove our difficulties, or asking people to make dua for us, for the sihat or for the health, or any other difficulty of this dunya or any type that we might be facing. And from this Hadith-e Mubarakah, it is also learnt and understood that taweez and dam durood is jaiz, is halal. And it is indeed the sunnah of Sahaba-e-Kiram and the sunnat of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this Sahabi asked the question, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him that this is haram or this is najais or this is not allowed. In fact, he said, if one gets shifa because of taweez, because of dam, durood, wazifa, that is part of the taqdeer. It is written that way that the person will come right because of this or because of that. وعن أبي هريرة قال خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نتنازع في القدر فغضب حتى احمر وجهه حتى كأنما فقي في وجنتيه حب الرمان فقال أبي هذا أمرتم أبي هذا أرسلت إليكم إنما هلك من كان قبلكم حين تنازعوا في هذا الأمر أزمت عليكم ألا تنازعوا فيه رواه الترمذي وروى ابن ماجه عن عمر ابن شعيب عن أبيه وعن جده. This hadith mubarakah is from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. Hazrat Abu Huraira says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. And we were fighting or debating or arguing in the issue of destiny or taqdeer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very angry. So angry that his face became red, as if the seeds of pomegranate fruit were squeezed on his cheeks. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sahaba Ikram, "Have you been ordered to do this, what you are doing? Am I being sent to you for this reason? The people before you got destroyed because they were fighting in this matter." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered Sahaba Ikram, I make it necessary for you that you should not debate or argue in this matter of taqdeer. Now, what was the debate that was going on among Sahaba Ikram when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came? The discussion was going on. So whatever we do because of the will and the wish of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So we are forced. And since we are forced, then why should there be thawab or azab? Why should there be a reward or a punishment? So this was like an argument when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. As people normally discuss these type of things today, so it's actually at all time people used to do. And this anger was for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to teach Sahaba Ikram. So this anger, this ghussa was ibadat, and this type of anger is an act of thawab. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry? Not for his own self, not for his nafs. He got angry because he wanted to save Sahaba Ikram from a difficulty. So this anger was for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the love for Allah and anger for Allah, that is appreciated and that is praiseworthy. But normally we praise people for our nafs, for ourselves, because we have certain benefit attached with that person. And we get angry with people because of our own self, because of our own desires. And from this Hadith Mubarakah, we learn that a teacher can get angry upon his students, and a peer or murshid can also get angry upon his disciples, upon his murids. If they are not doing their work properly, if they're not preparing themselves properly, if their akhlaq is not good, if their character is not good, then this anger would be for the sake of Allah. This anger would be for their upliftment, for their improvement. So this is proven from this Hadith Mubarakah as well. And we learn from this Hadith Mubarakah that the people before, because it's being mentioned here, that people before Sahaba Ikram, they got destroyed because of discussing the masla of taqdeer. People, they used to get involved with these discussions and then end up having the wrong beliefs, end up having the corrupted beliefs, and then some would feel, na'uzu billah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressing them, he is forcing them, he has written everything down, we are forced to do, and now why should we be punished, why should be this, why should be that? There are too many objections and questions. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Sahaba Ikram that don't get involved in these issues, because people have been destroyed before you,
and I fear on you that you might not reach that level. And also we learn that without the knowledge to discuss on these issues is not permitted. However, to teach people, as the ulama ikram learn about taqdeer, and they teach their students, and these are scholars, these are special people, and they learn this subject, when there is an issue, there is confusion, they can help Muslims. They don't learn to fight with others. They learn to help whoever has a misunderstanding or whoever has got a difficulty to understand, so they can help them. So for that reason, if one is engaged in discussing the matter of taqdeer, that is allowed. But if that's not the reason, then it is totally prohibited. People are stopped not to discuss these issues because they will put them into trouble. One Abi Musa, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله خلق آدم من قبضة قبضها من جميع الأرض فجاء بنو آدم على قدر الأرض منهم الأحمر والأبيض والأسود وبين ذلك والسهل والحزن والخبيث والطيب رواه أحمد والترمذي وأبو داود. حضرت Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala reports that I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Adam alayhi salam was created from a handful, in sand, of handful sand which was taken from different parts of the earth. Therefore, in the children of Adam alayhi salam, they are red, there are whites, there are blacks, and there are those who have a balanced color. And there are those who are soft, there are those who are hard, there are those who are pure, there are those who are impure. So from this Hadith Mubarakah we learn that the sand which was taken to create the model of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that sand was taken from different places and of different colors and of different natures. And based on that, there are human beings who have different colors, who have different natures. Some are white, some are red, some are black, and some have olive color, some have wheat color, etc., etc. That is because of the effect of the different color of the earth. And some have soft nature, some have hard nature. Some are soft and kind, some are very rough and tough. So it is because of the sand, the soil, which has been used to create them, and their effect is there in Adam alayhi salam. So you get those genes in you, so you don't know what type of genes are traveling into you and how would your nature be. And similarly, there were part of sands which were pure and there were part of sands which were impure, and based on that you would be made, or your nature would be. Some people are good and pure and they think pious, they think pure, they do everything pure, they live a pure life, and there are others who live impure life, they think impure. So all that has been planned in this way, as it is mentioned in this Hadith Mubarakah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have heard beautiful Madani pearls from these Ahadith Mubarakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us thorough understanding of Ahadith and beautiful words of wisdom of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.